most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat, perky style. We try to be perky over here. And we provide you with tips, advice, resource information on how to pursue a career in show business. Usually, not today, but usually, we have a special guest today. We have guests on that work in various professions of the entertainment industry. They're all professionals. So when you tune in, we definitely will have someone in your career. So if you want to be a model, a musician, an actor, dancer, producer, director, we have people on that are award-winning, Emmy award-winning, Clio award-winning, you name it. So you definitely want to tune in because we've got some top people for you. Now, if you want to know who's going to be on our show in the future, you can visit our website directly, Question Reality, and the website address is questionreality.us. Not .com, questionreality.us. And you can check out any of our past guests, read their bios, and listen or download any of the shows right here on the website, LA Talk Radio. If you look at the top, listening to us now over the internet, you can look at the top and you'll see the Schedule 1 link at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. You want to click on that, and then you look for the show Question Reality in the time slot, Sunday at 5. Click the link. It'll take you directly to my archive page, and then you can peruse at your own leisure. We have a ton of people on there. So you just see what their title is, who they are, and you just hit play, and it'll play instantly. You can also download the show and listen to us on iTunes. Yay! It's under the podcast section, just in case. And we would love for you to call in and ask our guests questions anytime during the show, but we kind of say maybe between 5:20 and 5:30. That way it gives them a little chance to warm up. Don't call right away, but 5:20 to 5:30. And when you call in, we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. And the call-in number should be right in front of you. Again, if you are on the website listening to the show, it's right in front of you. But just in case you want to jot it down, it's area code 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And we've got so much to talk about today. I usually do intro topics telling you all the cool entertainment events that are coming up, but we just want to get right to the nitty-gritty. I will say I've gotten so many emails about who our guest is going to be next week. I will tell you just a little tiny bit. Next week, yes, it is true. I keep getting emails saying, oh my God, is it true that Jack McEnroth is a Project Runway is going to be on your show next week? Yes, for all of you diehard Project Runway Season 4 fans, Jack is back, and he is going to be on our show. For those of you who don't know who Jack McEnroth is, he was on the he's an award-winning fashion designer and reality television star, and he was on Project Runway Season 4, and it was a very controversial season. So, not to give it away, but you'll love Jack McEnroth. So he will be here. You'll get the scoop. I'm going to get the scoop on Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn for sure. I'm going to be digging for some information on them. So if you have any questions that you want me to ask Jack, email me at priscilla@questionreality.us. P-R-I-S-C-I-L-L-A at questionreality.us. Or you can call us directly when he's on the show and talk to Jack. So don't miss our show next week. Tell all your friends if they are Project Runway friends next week at 5 o'clock on LA Talk Radio Question Reality. All right, so now we have a very, 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 very special guest. She is my first non-entertainment guest, per se, non-entertainment. I'm sure she's very entertaining on her own time, but she is, her name is Sylvia Allen, and I'm just going to just tell you a little bit about her. She can go into more detail, but a brief bio is Sylvia Allen. In 2003, oh, by the way, she's of Homedale, New Jersey, for all you New Jersey fans and New Jersey residents out there. I have a lot of people who are actually going to be listening today who are in New Jersey. Nick Saltos of, oh, my God, he's right over. He lives on the Hudson. I can't remember. Gutenberg, yeah, I think it's Gutenberg, New Jersey, and a lot of other, Red Bank, I have someone listening from Red Bank, and Egg Harbor, I believe, Egg Harbor, oh God, I can't remember, oh, well, you know who you are, because you told me you're going to be listening. Anyway, she's from Homedale, New Jersey. She founded Sylvia's Children, which is a nonprofit organization, and this, their mission is feeding, clothing, educating, and providing shelter for children in a small village in an African country of Uganda. And these are children who were left orphaned due to either losing one or both parents in the AIDS pandemic and or various other reasons. So since then, Sylvia has basically tried to accomplish much, and she has accomplished so much. So she has done, I'll just tell you a couple of things that she's done. She has constructed a fresh well. She's dedicated a library, stocked full of books, stocked to the floor, floor to the ceiling, building four classroom blocks and a dormitory to a house to house a dormitory to house the students and the teachers. So that's pretty cool. She installed computers with internet access. Of course, you can't have a computer without internet access. She also brought a nurse, and she's providing a dentist to cure ailments such as umbilical hernia, syphilis, and so far she's been able to sponsor over 200 of the school's orphans, which equates to one-third of the 1,000 students at the school. There's probably more now. That is, I think that information might be, I don't know if it's current, but she'll tell us about that. And she is planning, which I think is so exciting. I thought this was the most exciting statement when I read this in her bio. She is planning to acquire 7 acres of land to operate my favorite food, a chicken farm. Woo, God bless the chickens. And this will supply the children with protein, of course, and it's also going to bring a great source of revenue, which is, of course, what everybody needs. So this will start, apparently this is going to start with a sewing trade and I guess employing a fair trade coffee business, allowing the sale of coffee beans to be exported directly to other nations. So that's going to bring in a lot of income. So now after this eight-year model is accomplished, I think in 2011, she is going to, I guess she can take it to other underserved African schools, and this is going to give them the tools to create, I guess it's going to be like a model, and it's going to create sustainable economies by incorporating social capitalism into their systems, in case they don't have it, and by the way of this grassroots plan. So she's currently also very active woman. I don't know how she does it, but she's currently in the process of writing another book. She already has one book, another book, and it's entitled Single Points of Light Illuminating Darkest Africa. And this will feature a collection of chapters spotlighting one person who's making a difference in Africa. So that should be very, very, very exciting. She is also a very accomplished author, speaker, business owner for over 30 years, and she has won over 50 awards. My God, how can somebody achieve that in one lifetime? It's amazing. I haven't won one award. I could at least win one award for talking the most. Oh, she's also globally known. I did not know this. This is a new one. She's also globally known as a sales guru. Oh, my God, she must be rich. Oh, let's see. I'm going to have to borrow some money from her. And her company, she has a company called Allen Consulting, and it's recognized as the cornerstone and the reinvention of many of New Jersey's downtowns. And I have spoken to a couple people who are from the East Coast, and they said, oh, my God, really? Yes, I'm very familiar with Allen Consulting. So she apparently is a big whoopity-whoop, and she's making a big whoopity-whoop, and we've got her here today to tell us how she whoops all of her whoopity-whoop up and is conquering the world. Sylvia, are you conquering the world?
I don't know if I'm conquering the world or just two teeny little places, but it's a pretty exciting life. I feel so blessed that these African kids were put in front of me about 7 years ago, and I was there on a different kind of trip. I used to teach a class called How to Ask for Money at NYU, and one of the students there invited me on a trip, and I said, well, who's going? He said, five ministers. I said, five ministers and me.
Ooh.
And he said, don't worry, you'll be safe. I said, I wasn't worried about me.
But five
ministers and I went off to Africa, and when I get my humor back, I'll write the book. But the last day that we were there, we were in a little village called Breezy, M-B-I-R-I-I-Z-I. Everything always says two consonants in front of it. And this man came up to me and he said, the children would like you to be their grandmother.
What?
I said, well, you know, like, who are you? I thought it would be nice if I knew who he was and what children and so on. And when he explained it to me, and I don't know if every once in a while you've ever had where you felt like somebody whacked you over the head and then you saw the light, and I said, you know what? I'll do that. I'll help you. So at the time, it was this Mbrizi Advanced Primary Daycare School, 439 children, of which 139 were orphans. I said, you know, let me have your phone number. Let me have your email and so on. And I came back to the United States, and I walked in the office because I run this PR firm, and I said, I'm starting a nonprofit. Now, nobody even looked surprised because they're kind of used to me doing stuff anyway. I said, I want to call it Africa's Children. They said, no, you call it Sylvia's Children and use your name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to tell you, I have just, the thing that's held me in good stead is that I do know PR and marketing, and I've never run a nonprofit in my life, but as of the end of this year, we will have raised $280,000.
Wow.
And, you know, you mentioned the well, but we've built a boys' dormitory. We have new stoves. We have desks. We have medical supplies. We just spent today packing up 300 pounds of Christmas gifts for the children, and four of us will go over and put on a Christmas party.
Yeah, you're leaving actually in 2 days, am I correct?
Yep. Thanksgiving Day.
And is that you're going to stay all throughout Christmas to have the big party?
And No. We'll be back by December 4th.
Oh, I see. So you're just taking supplies over? And
technically, the school is closed as of this Friday.
Okay.
But they keep the kids 1 week longer so we can do this party for them.
Okay.
And we're now up to 1,002 children and 236 orphans.
Mm.
Of the 236 orphans, we have 90 of them sponsored.
Mm.
Eight of the orphans have now, our school goes up through the American equivalent of seventh grade.
Okay.
We now have eight orphans that have gone on to secondary school, and we've got those all sponsored.
Wow. Where do they go after they leave your school? Is there some place to carry on what you've been able to accomplish?
Yes, just to get a sense of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very small town. The majority of people have no transportation, so they walk everywhere. Children will walk 1 to 7 miles one way to get to school. We're very lucky that within 5 miles of our school is a secondary school. It's based on the British model, where they go P1 to P7, then S1 to S4, And this school has the same academic excellence as ours. So, you know, it's only 5 miles away. And we now have 8 children there. 4 of them who are already in, like, the equivalent of sophomore. And then 4 that graduated this last week, and then they will start again in January. So it's really, you know, it's so exciting that if you think about this, 80% of boys do not go beyond 7th grade in Uganda, and 83% of girls do not go on beyond 7th grade.
Oh.
So we are trying to make a dent in that. And if I can, I've got some nice things that may happen shortly. I do sponsorship for a living. That's how I keep this Sylvia's Children going. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Wilson is doing a concert March 12th at Avery Fisher Hall in New York as a fundraiser for Rekindle Hope in Africa. And they have asked me to help them with that. And if it's a success, they will give me what I need to build these 5 businesses, you know, to get the chicken farm going, mm-hmm. to get the, you know, for us it sounds so basic, but money for a chicken farm, finish the teacher's dorm, start a health clinic, start a woman's co-op, buy the sewing machines and build a building so that the kids can learn a trade, but the widows can come in at 4 and then learn a trade. And what we'll do is we will make uniforms, because there's so many private schools over there, because the government schools are so bad. And
right.
then grow and mill corn. We've already got land under planting of corn. We just have to buy a corn milling machine. And, you know, it's only $7,500, which for Americans is not a big deal. But if you live on $2 a day, $7,500 is a lot of money.
Let's give the people, for people who are not really familiar with Uganda, you had some very interesting points, which people can check out your website, sylviaschildren.org. You have this on the front page, which I found very poignant. I want to go over some of them. Africa. You have Africa, where the first human beings stood up and walked. Africa, the world's second largest continent. Africa, home to 10% of the world's population. Sub-Saharan Africa, 15 million children under 18 are AIDS orphans. Very, very strong stuff. Under Uganda, you have 1.5 million are orphans, 1.5 million. 95% of the population does not have electricity. 95%, 5% less than 100%. More than half of the population lives on less than $2 a day. 95% of the population does not have water. Only 20% of the male children, as you just said, go past 7th grade, and only 17% of the female children go past 7th grade. So these are just things that people just don't always think about. They just don't know. They don't have the bullet points. If you can give people bullet points, then I think it kind of hits them more, and I think that's great that you put that on the first page of your website, because people need to know it's not just they need money. They need money because look at what's going on. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. The other thing is that people need to know is, contrary to other nonprofits, 100% of the money that is donated goes to the school. I'm lucky enough to have my PR and marketing business, and that way I can cover all the administrative costs. So many nonprofits, you're allowed by the IRS to keep 15%. But if you give me $360 for a child's food, clothing, education, and housing, how can I legitimately keep 15% of that?
Absolutely.
I just can't.
No way. No way. Now, how much could somebody give that, say, other than sponsoring, you know, a child directly, which I sponsor a child in Bolivia, other than sponsoring, like I do $20 a month, which is a huge, huge, huge amount. I wish I could give more. I do
not
actually
worry.
Christmas. But what I've been doing this since I was 12 years old. So I don't know. He's probably married by now. But I originally got a child from Bolivia when I was 12. He's probably owed by now, but he's still getting money. Somebody's getting money. Hopefully it's going to a good cause. You know, I have heard some stories, which I really want to address about. A lot of people have sent me emails and said that they're very scared to send money to the foreign aid. They don't mind giving money to local charitable organizations, but they're scared to give money to foreign countries because they have heard about all these scams, and they, you know, they legitimately have a reason. How can you, or what can you say about that? How do people know that if they help donate that the money is going directly to the children? I mean, or any organization, not just Sylvia Children, but any foreign organization. What can they do to be guaranteed that they actually are going to feel like they're helping?
Number one, they have to request from that nonprofit what is called their 990. That's an income tax return. There are also nonprofit watchdogs. They could contact the Chronicle of Philanthropy and ask them, you know, what watchdogs are keeping track, because there are a lot of nonprofits who keep anywhere from 30 to 80% of the money as administrative. And that's crazy. You know, I just couldn't live with myself if I did
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not. No, no, absolutely not. My God. And a lot of people, a lot of people have tried to start. I know personally, I know people who have had small businesses who really, really wanted to help, and they tried to start nonprofits. And I tell you, I don't know if you had that problem. Probably not, because you already owned a PR firm and you had a legal base to back you up. But a lot of people who don't have that, they try to start a nonprofit to help people in foreign countries, and they thought that they could do it on their own. And I have heard stories about how just getting through the 501c, that it was such a hassle, and it was all this mumbo jumbo and legal stuff that they finally just gave up. And it was such a shame, because they really wanted to set up a nonprofit organization to help people. And how can people get around that? Do you have any tips if they want to help and start a nonprofit? What do you do?
Well, first place, you have to be one tough cookie.
Yeah.
When I came back, it was May of 2003. June of 2004, I got incorporated in the state of New Jersey. By August of 2004, I was recognized as a charity in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I filed all my own papers for the 501c3 in September, and they told me I'd have it in 2 months. So when I didn't have it by December, I wrote all my elected officials, my congressmen and my senators, and I said, I want you to write a letter to the IRS. Let's get this thing going. And then I called in January and found out who my case, let's use that term, case had been assigned to in the IRS. I called him every workday from January 2nd until April 14th, 2004.
Wow.
And at one point he said, you don't have to call me every day. I said, oh, yes, I do, because the more I call you, the quicker we'll get this done. And then I just couldn't. I got it April 14th, 2004, and then I called him the next day, and he said, you don't have to call me. I told you, you've got it. I said I was lonesome, you know.
Right before tax day.
I just couldn't, you know.
So that's what you said right there. That's what a lot of people, they get so frustrated. You happen to be a pit bull in that area and you get things done, but a lot of people are like, oh my God, I've been waiting 6 months, nothing happened with the 501c, da 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 da, and they just give up. And it's just, I wish there was a place that really could help people start more charitable organizations. It is just such a hassle for a lot of people who don't have a lot of financial background and have legal counsel that
sure.
they can turn to. So, but you are doing a wonderful thing. I want to point out that a lot of the children, as I said earlier, a lot of them suffer from syphilis. And can you tell us a lot of the children at Sylvia's Children, what are some of the diseases that they're facing at your school?
Well, Okay, well, the one thing we're lucky about, we had been told before we went this summer on the summer trip that 8 of the children had syphilis. Now, you know, if you're in the United States and someone says your child has syphilis, you're thinking either they were born with it or there's been sexual abuse or whatever the case may be. So a doctor donated all the medicine for syphilis, bless his little heart. And we get over there, and one of the nurse practitioners that was on the trip, she said, I am not administering this medicine until I know they've got syphilis. Well, okay, so we took those 8, and we piled 8 others in the bus and took them 40 miles to a clinic so we could have a blood test. Now, just keep in mind, they don't have the money to give the test, A. B, they don't have any way to get there. So these kids had never been in a bus. They'd never been out of their village. So they were just in awe. Anyway, $40 later, we had all 16 kids tested, and none of them had syphilis.
Wow.
And we found out that the local doctor, and I hope you see I'm putting quotes around that.
Air quotes.
If they don't know what it is, they say they've got syphilis.
Now, what?
Yeah. Well, that's why we need a clinic. We're not going to put up with it. So we have a couple of kids with umbilical hernias. That's just from a difficult, not good childbirth. Mm-hmm. And that can be cured by wrapping the kids in ACE bandages. Mm-hmm. We have a young girl who had cerebral malaria who was not able to walk 3 years ago, finally walking with a limp, but still she's walking. We have one child with AIDS, and we're able to, because that child is sponsored, we're able to provide the medication so that she's okay. And then we do have a lot of children with malaria, because malaria is recurring out there. But again, we have the medicine that we can provide them. We finally, as of January of this year, got a nurse, have a nurse on staff. We're trying to build housing so that the nurse can live right there, because she works 7 days a week. They're the hardest working, most wonderful people you'll ever hope to meet, living on next to nothing. They're kind, they're bright, they're gentle, they're resilient. One of the things I did, because I was nervous about starting these businesses over there, I did an entrepreneur's class because I wanted to see, do they get it? And instead of having it, how would you start it, because I know how to start it, I broke them into 4 sections, product, pricing, promotion, and placement. I said, here's what you're responsible for, da-da-da-da-da. They were terrific. Once I get them started, once I give them the base, they're going to be terrific.
Wow. My God. Whew. Oh, my God. That. And are you running pretty much all of this yourself, or do you have, like, people that are working hand-in-hand with you, or to make sure that all of this happens, like people that are your right hand men?
Now, I have two full-time staff members, 2 freelancers. They don't work on Sylvia's children. I have a son and daughter on the board of trustees who love to tell me what needs to be done. I really do it mostly myself. I do have a couple of volunteers. But when it comes to things like, I was writing the renewal letters today for 25 of the children that are sponsored. I have to write those letters, because it has to be my words, my heart to these people. You know, I saw Stephen Musafua this summer, and he sends his love and his greetings. What are they going to say? I've had some people say, well, I don't want to renew my sponsorship. And I say, how can you, for 1 year, sponsor a child who's lost both parents and then heartlessly not do it again?
What do they say to that? I can't believe it. What is their answer to that question?
You can't push me, Sylvia.
I go,
you're right. But I'm very fussy now. When someone says they want to sponsor a child, I say, you have to commit to me. You'll stick with that child through secondary school. Otherwise, I'd just rather have you make a donation.
Right. Now, other than the obvious, which is basic humanity and kindness, what is your personal driving force behind Sylvia's children? I mean, what is the driving force? Other than the obvious, what keeps you going? Is it that you see the constant success that you are bringing in every day with all of the things that you've done so far? Is it that you see the future, or is it everything combined? What really is the single driving force?
It's that you can make a difference. Mm-hmm. One person can make a difference. There's a wonderful song, One Voice in the Wilderness. And whenever anyone says, well, you know, I'm only one person, I go, yeah? And your point? Because I'm only one person.
That's right.
So rewarding, though, to get there and see that you've accomplished something and you know you're making a difference in these children's lives. And maybe it's only 1,000 children or 2,000, but you're making a difference in their life. You're getting them out of poverty.
That's right. And if a person, what can a person do listening to this show today? Say they're very moved by our conversation. They go to your website and they want to help. Now, what can they do other than donate money? Now, wait a minute. I actually know that because one of the things I understand is that Sylvia's Children has gone green, which I love.
Yeah.
And I understand that, on the website it says, you can help, and it will cost you nothing.
Right.
And tell us about that.
All right. I have a young man who is a junior at a local school, and this is his project. He is single-handedly trying to raise the $15,000 for the building and the sewing machines so he can name the building after his mother. And what we're doing is just collecting printer cartridges.
Right.
And old cell phones. They pay us for these things, these different organizations. Like if you travel on a plane, in those magazines, you'll see this ad by Pace Butler, turn in your old cell phones. Like I just mailed in, they prepay, they'll take care of covering it and everything. I just mailed in 20. We'll see what happens. Even if it's only 50 bucks, it's $50. That makes a difference in what it is that we're doing.
Well, I'm just so glad that you said that because, my God, I have tons of, my husband is a computer network administrator, and he has tons of printer cartridges that have been laying in that closet for years, and he says, we can't throw them away, you can't put them in the trash, so we just keep them. And we got cell phones, and I'm like, what am I going to do with them? And every year I say, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to see where. And they have been in that closet. So I know that if I do it, other people out there have printer cartridges and cell phones that they have not thrown away or gotten rid of. And this would be a perfect opportunity. If they don't want to give any cash up, then they can send the printer cartridges and the cell phones. And how would they be able to do that, Sylvia?
All they have to do is email me.
Okay.
Sylvia at sylviaschildren.org, or they can call me 732-946-9639, and I will arrange it. I'll get them the little self-addressed sticker and everything. Just tell them what kind of thing they have to put, you know, a little letter inside, and FedEx picks it up. We don't have to do anything.
Isn't that fantastic? So printer cartridges, cell phones, anything else?
Nope, that's it. And on the cell phones, all they want are the phones, because what they do is recondition them so that older people, versus my son reminds me, I am one of them, older people can use them, you know, for 911.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. So, people, you don't have any excuses because I know you got printer cartridges out there and cell phones. So, give them to Sylvia and let her recycle them for you. And so, is that Ron Dolan who does that?
Yep. Ryan Dolan. Yep.
Okay,
and
so,
Ryan's email, I mean, he's this is an amazing child, too. ryanrevoolushun@gmail.com. At 12, this young man started his own record company.
Get out of here!
So he's an awesome, awesome kid, and as he's cut his own hip-hop CD and everything, and I said, well, now what? Oh, he says, you know, I get bored so easily, I need to get it marketed. I said, Brian, get off your backside.
Oh, my God. And you know, and this should also be encouraged for children to get your children to do it too, because it's also a great way for the children to be able to participate and feel good about doing things for other people, and that can also learn a trade, and they never know where that's going to branch off by just helping out with volunteer work. Some people who start volunteer work, they end up starting nonprofits and go on to do amazing things. So it's great to have your children participate in that too. So I understand that you can ask offices to have a collection box at their place of business too. Tell us about that.
Yep, and all they have to do is go to sylviaschildren.org and go to our little box. Sylvia's Children goes green. There's a poster there. All you have to do is download it, post it in the office, and then when you're ready to figure out, oh my gosh, we got to get rid of this, I will tell you how to get rid of it.
Ah! You know what? Now, I know you are known as the guru of sales and publicity and everything. So I'm going to risk telling you, I had an idea last night because I was thinking about you, and I said, I have an idea for her, but I feel a little scared to tell her about it, but because she's like the queen of PR. But I'm going to tell you, and I hope that you like it. I thought
okay.
It would be a good idea if on your website you had the amount of money that you needed. And you had, every time somebody contributed, there was a countdown,
yep.
And it minused out. Is that a good idea? And would you consider
that's really amazing that you said that, because that's one of the things I'm meeting with a guy on Tuesday night.
Get out of here!
No,
I am so psychic. See, I tell you people, you wonder how I know all the deepest, darkest secrets in your life when you don't tell anybody. See, I just proved it with Sylvia. See that? Oh, are you serious? It's true. I just come up with these. I psychically connect if I think about you. So, and I end up like tuning in, just like I thought, oh my God, I wonder if Sylvia would laugh at me. But, you know, that is amazing. Really? You're going to do it? That would be so great. Because I thought I would love to see a counter on there and just every time you get money for it to go down, because I think that is just another way for people to feel like their contribution really is helping. It's just another little ticker in your head. So when is that going to happen?
Well, Tuesday night I'm meeting with him. It turns out he is the internet expert for a Fortune 100 company. He says, hey, do you need any help with your website? Yeah. So I gave him the one idea I want to do, too, besides, and I like the counter almost better than the thermometer, but I want the map of Uganda, and I want it into little squares. And when you click on one of the squares, it comes like a call out like you would do in print. Of a child, and it gives the child's name and age and what grade they're in, and then at the bottom it says, if you would like to sponsor me, please click here, and it would help me get the children sponsored, because people could actually see them.
Right. That was the whole reason for me sponsoring the child in Bolivia, because I got, when I became a sponsor, I got a picture and I got a letter, and I used to continue to get letters every year, and I just think that really inspired me and motivated me. Is that something you plan on doing every time? Is that something that's in force now with Sylvia's Children? And if not, is that something that you are going to start with this thermometer?
Well, you always get a picture of the child, because we take a new picture every year.
Okay.
You get the child's report card every year.
Wow.
We don't do letters because that requires staff. And a lot of the nonprofits have full-time staff, and they just sit with the children. But then that's an expense that comes out of the money that's raised.
What about emails? Emails, are they allowed to email, or is that kind of weird, you know, pedophiles out there in the world? God knows you can't even trust anybody these days. They say they're sponsoring or volunteering. You never know if they're a pedophile. So I guess emails really wouldn't work either, huh?
Well, if you go back to the fact that 95% don't have electricity.
I meant like in the school, like if there's a library, they wouldn't be allowed to go to the library and kind of say, thank you for being my sponsor, so nothing like that. Okay.
What you want to do is protect your sponsors from anyone soliciting money from you except through the legitimate organization.
Good idea, Okay.
I run interference for everybody. Not, and, you know, the reality is, and you're living in poverty and you see an American, they think we're all rich. And, of course, compared to them, we are.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to ruin this relationship that I'm building of self-reliance, independence, you know, the whole thing of self-worth.
Right.
And I don't want them to beg.
Right.
I don't think that's right. And
right.
So I'm the conduit here. I'm in the middle.
I see. Mm-hmm. So if a person decides to that they want to donate, now explain the difference between the donating and the sponsoring. They can just donate a single amount or they can sponsor a child, correctly?
Sure. When they luckily now we've got the donate now button on the top of the web page. For a while it was at the bottom, which evoked a lot of discussion with the web guy. But what we have is a whole list of things. You can sponsor a child. You can pay $30 a month, or you can pay it as a single payment. You can make a donation to the clinic. You can buy desks. Some of your people may have employer matching grants.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, you know, they can email me or call me, and I'll tell them how we go about with that. They can donate money for the chicken farm, for the sewing, or they can just say, here's my donation. Use it for anything you want. If they want to do a fundraiser, like I had a young high school senior do a fundraiser at a TGI Fridays this last week, Thursday night. TGI Fridays would donate 20% of every check of the people that said they were there for Sylvia's children.
Wow.
So
and
I just...
Is that something that would be complicated? So if we wanted to do something like that, would we just contact you and we would take care of it on our end and just call you and say, this is what we're going to do, or how would that work?
Yep, because especially those restaurant things. That's so easy.
Okay, so the restaurants deal with you with the distribution of money, or do we handle that? Or because I was thinking about maybe having like maybe a video party, and say for example, if I wanted to have a video party and I choose a restaurant, would I call you or call your office and say, hey, I want to have this party to help donate money, or would you say just go ahead and raise it and send it in, or how would that work?
Well, I'm more than glad to do the calling because I am really good at convincing people they should do something. But then I would say, you know, you run it, and then, you know, you would have people make the checks payable, or what, you know, if it's a single facility like TGI Fridays, they will want to make it payable to Sylvia's Children because we're a 501c3, and
right.
That gives them, you know, the legitimate deduction.
And you provide the receipt, you'll provide a receipt for them.
Yep, provide a receipt, and I can give them a copy of the 501c3. For 5 years, you are on probation as a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
And March of this year, after I filed 80 gazillion more pages, I got my permanent 501c3. And I tell you, I cannot believe I was so excited about a permanent 501c3.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is a big hassle. I wanted to start a I'm still debating. I wanted to start an organization called Santa Claus Wishes, and it's been, I already got the website addresses and I've been saving money forever, but I wanted to start an organization where people would write, like poor people would write letters to Santa and send them to, of course, me, but Santa Claus Wishes,
yes.
And then we would put them in a bag, and then what I was doing at the point, this is where I thought, oh my gosh, Sylvia's Children would come in, because when I thought I would start the organization, first of all, my lawyer said, don't do a nonprofit because it's a big hassle and I don't want to be bothered. Just go ahead and do this. So he told me to do this, which I'm thinking about doing, but I don't want to get into any legal problems, but this would be perfect because I thought of starting something called Santa Claus Wishes where they send their letters. I would take the letters, put it in a bag. We have a big party, have Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus fly, select people in, just pick random letters, fly them in, and whatever they wish for, grant their wishes. So
oh,
that's
nice.
What my thing was. But this might actually be perfect. But I was looking for a charity because I thought, oh, well, if I have a charity, all the money can go to the charity. So this is something we're going to have to talk about, you know, later on, because I would really love to work with you to help
that would be wonderful.
Yeah. And then maybe actually you could help me, because now that I think about it, you could give me tips on what I could do, since my lawyer's saying don't start a 501, how could I get around it and start my Santa Claus wishes without going through that? So maybe you could help me with that, and I can give you all my money.
Well, you still have to have a 501c3.
I know, he said that, but I'm like, maybe we could do something else. So we'll talk about that. But, you know, I see on your website, it says Christmas fund. So, and that's only $35. So why doesn't everybody give, who's listening today, give $35 to the Christmas fund? Now, what does the Christmas fund consist of for Sylvia's children?
Okay, the Christmas fund is this trip that we're going leaving on Thursday. One of the things about the African culture is it's one of fairness, so every child gets the same thing. So we have 1,002 Christmas presents, and that's what we packed today. Last year, the children, all they wanted for Christmas was their own blanket.
No.
In 2 seconds, I could have you crying, because to have a child who has no shoes and comes from poverty to take this blanket and then curtsy and say thank you and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, you die. You just fall apart. But this year, we're having fun with it. Every child will get, we've got little gift bags, every child will get a candy cane, a pair of sunglasses, a kazoo, a balloon, a ball, a sun visor, stickers, they love stickers, a pencil sharpener, crayons, and a couple more things, and a couple books. I can't quite remember everything. So that's why we packed up there. We have 300 pounds of toys that we're taking.
Wow, and every single one of the kids is going to get one, right? All thousands?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yay. Wow, and that came from donations, organizations?
Yep, people donated. Yeah, and what I do is if I don't have enough, you know, by the time we're going to go, I just front it myself.
Oh, my
and then,
God.
And if it comes in, it comes in. If it doesn't, I can't ask for a nicer Christmas.
Oh, I mean, it's Sylvia. Oh, my gosh. You know, I tell you, I'm looking at the amounts, and they're really not a lot to ask for. I really think that everyone should go to sylviaschildren.org and click on that Donate Now button. When you see the small amounts that they're asking for, I mean, how could you not do that? $35, you spend that going out to lunch. You spend it certainly going to dinner. I mean, my God, and it's for the Christmas fund. And a wood desk for four children, $75. I mean, you spend that. I mean, I spend that maybe a dinner and a show. I mean, I just don't know how people could not give. And these are certainly worthy. This is a worthy charity. And with you doing everything, we should give you as much money as possible, because this seems to be keeping you around, and we want to keep you on the earth for another 100 years. So how can we keep you around? Give you some money for Sylvia's children, right?
Well, here's another idea, too. I have a gentleman who said, you know, Sylvia, every year I give my clients cookies. He said, I'm not doing that this year. He said, I will take all the money I would spend on the cookies and give it to you and then give them, he said, would you send them a Christmas card that says, you know, the donation's been made in their name? I said, in a heartbeat.
So
that's another idea. I've had people who do that as Christmas gifts. A donation has been made to Sylvia's children. The other thing that people are doing is when someone dies and they make a donation in memory of, like I just had a woman sponsor a child in memory of one of the men from our church that recently just died. So there are all sorts of ways, you know, that. And let's face it, none of us, I don't think many of us are suffering very much. I know it's a down economy and so on. But
it's nothing compared to what they're suffering.
Exactly.
For sure.
I don't think I'm starving.
No. And I certainly am not starving with my big ass over here. So I feel real guilty now. I can't even enjoy my damn Snickers bar after I get off the phone with you, Sylvia. Thank you
very much.
I'm going to have to mail this whole crate of Tasty Cakes right over to Sylvia to send to her children. My God. Well, you know what, Sylvia? We got 2 minutes. Let's make the 2 minutes count. Anything that you want to say in your closing statement, please say it now, because we want some money. So let's see your sales tactics work. Go, girl.
Okay, here we go. Well, I need 146 children sponsored, and that's only a buck a day. If you are going to Starbucks, you can afford to sponsor a child a buck a day, and you will take that child and make them smarter than where they are right now, and you will free them from poverty. They won't have to live on $2 a day, and they won't have to live in a building that has a dirt floor. They won't have to walk 5 to 7 miles for water. You will make a difference in a human being's life. And if there's any one thing that is fulfilling, it's watching that child and seeing that you've made a difference in one person. And that's my sales pitch.
I love it. I'm sold. I'm writing a check now, Sylvia. I'm on it. I got everything greased up and ready to go. Oh, my God. Well, I can tell you, we are definitely going to be long charity friends, because I will be calling you, if that's okay with you.
No, I don't want you to call me.
No. I'm going to call you around the first of the year, and we're going to talk about the Santa Claus wishes. And I will be harassing people on this end, and I'm going to set up something. I don't know what, but I will be a regular contributor to Sylvia's Children. So you definitely sold me on your sales pitch. And everybody else, Sylvia's Children, we love Sylvia. Go to sylviaschildren.org. Thank you, Sylvia. God bless you. We need more people like you. You are just the heart and soul of the universe. You're the heart and soul of heaven. And you got your credits in heaven, girl. You don't even need to worry about it. But I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And sylviaschildren.org, I would love for you to come back on my show anytime you want. It is an open invitation to promote anything. You can harass my guests for money anytime you want. So open invitation, Sylvia. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for having me.
God bless you, and have a safe trip. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Question Reality.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.